Hi, welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballum. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi everyone, I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us.
All right, John, lovely to connect with you on New People Thursday.
Absolutely. In the summer, I'm just loving the summer, man. I'm soaking, you know, my African jeans are soaking up every ounce of the sun. So I'd like it.
Wow. But you see, that's the opposite for me, though. When it comes to the winter, the fall, that is when I'm most excited and most happy. But something about this year's summer that is actually very, very enjoyable. I don't know, even because it's not too hot, but in Vancouver, we're really enjoying a beautiful summer this year where, you know, you can just go out, sit outside, take your work, and it's not as harsh as the weather when I moved here from Dubai. So I'm enjoying this year's summer.
I feel sorry for, you know, people in Arizona at the moment. I was listening to the weather report yesterday, 40 degrees plus.
There you go. You see, when you have that type of a weather, then you are not really looking forward to summer.
No. It's getting scorched alive. Yeah. And those temperatures are taking shade, eh? That's what you
Yeah, that's really hard. But I wonder if that would be beneficial for farmers, you know, would that be beneficial for crops? Because there may be some people, like those using the solar panel, may actually appreciate the weather. But for typical people like us, it's very hot and it's very expensive to stay cool indoors.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, we got a last topic this morning. We're going to be talking about beauty, so maybe you want to ask me something about it, Gifty.
Yes. I'll ask you something about it. Just before I ask you the question, it's really interesting for us to, spend time to talk about the beauty in organizational life, the positive aspect of life and positive aspect of working together. So I believe that this is a topic a lot of our audience will relate to because we're either engaged or participating in one form of activity in one organization or the other.
Welcoming
contribution for people in terms of their own understanding of beauty. Let's start with John. So what do you mean by beauty as part of an organizational ethic? Because it's like, it's a new thing for people. Now we're talking about organizational ethics, we're talking about beauty. How do we combine those together? And, you know, most people understand the goodness and the truthfulness as part of ethics, but how does it have to do with beauty?
It has everything to do with beauty. Okay. So let's just expand our definition of beauty and what we mean by beauty. What we mean by beauty essentially is our sensory experience of the world. Not our thinking experience, but our sensory experience. So that means the sense of touch, sight, taste, smell, and hearing. Those are all our sensory experiences. Now, beauty in this sense is profoundly ethical, or needs to be ethical, because we all understand the opposite very well of what ugly is. When sounds are horrible and loud and distorted, when the visual, what we look at visually, is repulsive, when the smell, the air doesn't smell good, this is all ugliness, right? So by contrast, we all want sweet smelling air. We want beautiful things to look at. We want sounds that are conducive to our hearing and productivity and make us feel like we want to work. And even more make us want to work, we want to be surrounded by an environment that makes us feel creative and alive. That's what beauty is. That's when we talk about aesthetics. So I think for every organization, it's profoundly important that the employees, and not just the employees, all the stakeholders of the business have a great sensory experience of interacting with that business on all their senses. And, you know, often when I've spoken about beauty with people, people immediately assume, whoa, that expensive corporate artwork on the wall. No. That can be part of it, a bit of artwork, sure. But it's much more basic than that. It's all the touch points that stakeholders have with a business and their sensory, particularly their sensory experience of those touch points. So does that make sense to you?
It does. It does. And it gives a broader understanding of what we mean by beauty. Yes. Because beauty can be very complex. It can be a subjective concept. So you trying to explain it in the way that you've done, we all have to kind of now start looking at it differently, mostly based on our own experiences and our own interpretation. So yes. Greatly appreciated, John. Really, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you made a very good point there, Gifty, about the subjectivity of it. Yes, all of our experiences have an element of subjectivity, but they also all have a great degree of chorality in them. You know, sweet smelling or good smelling air is almost a universal, like clean air, you know, for everybody, you know. Whether you've got perfume in it or not, that's a whole other debate, but good clean air. You know, again, this is one of the big misunderstandings of beauty, that it's in the eye of the beholder. Well, a part of it is, but a large part of it, the majority of it, I would say, is actually common. We want it. We have a common understanding of that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Thank you so much for expanding on that, Jeff.
Great. So I'm curious, you know, based on that, what we've defined as beauty, what are some of the beautiful experiences you've had, or experiences of beauty, of sensory goodness, let's put it that way. That's another definition of beauty I really love, sensory goodness, in organizational life, as you worked in different organizations. Or, you know, maybe the lack of beauty. You could also talk about that. I'd be curious. I think
absolutely. Well, that's a lovely question. And I think a lot of us, you know, with such a question, we just start, you know, our brain starts mapping, you know, those experiences of which one am I thinking about? Which one can I relate to?
So curious.
It's really a great question. I think, you know, building on the fact that it can be subjective, I like to share my own experience. In my case, not only am I considering the organizations I've worked with as an employee or as a student, but also organizations I've interacted with as a consultant.
Yes, absolutely.
Beauty has always been everything from that natural landscape. Have you ever gone to a place of business and you're breathtaking by the scenery? Is it sort of like the lush design? For some people, that aspect of beauty is a good thing that kind of gives you that sense of tranquility, you know, that sense of being connected to to something natural, something beautiful.
Yeah.
A very good example is one of the universities I teach. Once you come out of the elevator, they have the floors numbers actually with live living plants embedded in floor numbers. So you see something natural when you come out of the elevator. And that, for me, gives me that connectedness with the natural world, you know, that beauty, right? So that's one. And of course, I've also seen businesses where beauty takes the shape of art and creativity. Creativity in terms of people working together and people exploring work together, and art can just be those literature. But for me, when I see beauty and I see it at the highest level, it comes to human connection. And I consider this beauty, in my opinion, because I associate beauty with interpersonal relationships and emotional connections. So when I see that opportunity, or I see people experiencing compassion, love, kindness, I see these as beautiful. So those moments where we have that genuine human connection, profound sense of belonging and sense of connection, and organizations who are fostering that sense of belonging and happiness and emotional well-being in their employee, that for me is beauty. The place where our business is located, they actually have a floor where they call it, I can't remember the name, but it had something to do with a yoga, my space, or your own space room or breathing room or something like that. They have a space, cubicle dedicated for an employee to go in and just be there. A dim room, because you're not expected to go there to work. You're expected to go there to reflect, to relax, and you're welcome to go in there with somebody else as well to have that sense of connection. connectedness. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, right? So those are my experiences. And I've been very fortunate to have organizations either with great natural landscapes, great arts and creativity, or the human connection.
I love that.
The second part of your question, you know, when there is a lack of beauty, I've also been fortunate. I would call it fortunate because I've had cases where I've created an impact and I've been influenced. I've been in situations where there's an absence of beauty. Here are examples where I found employers neglect to contribute to the feeling of their employees. About employers actually create situations where employees are dissatisfied, employees are stressed, employees are uncomfortable. And for me, I see this as, you know, lack of beauty, right? In a broader sense, the absence of beauty, in my opinion, in any organization or in the society, because then we can even move it out of organization, will be such things as, you know, things that happen today, violence, right? No sense of justice, right? Sadness, despair, discrimination, which we're seeing today at the workplace, right? Lack of inclusivity. Those for me would be where there is actually no beauty. And sadly, there have been cases where I've experienced that as well.
Yeah, this all reminds me of you know, Hertzberg. He talks about these hygiene factors, you know, theorist. That some of these things that are beautiful are not necessarily noticed on an everyday basis by most employees, but if they're not there, it leads to dissatisfaction and a whole bunch of other horrible fallouts. I want to talk about two things. One directly involves you in this regard. I remember when you worked together and I was your boss and you came and asked for a decent office chair.
Oh,
I was so happy. I can't tell you how happy I was to spend that money. Because you realized that if you're not comfortable, you're not going to be in a comfortable mental space and emotional space to deal with the students and people that arrived at your desk. And that's fundamental. And the fact that you had self-conscious to realize that.
And that was a great example of an employer investing in satisfaction of their employees. Because satisfaction doesn't only kind of confine us to actions around the work itself. It involves every other thing around the work. Ergonomics was my case where I came in and I needed a chair that kind of was good proportion of my chair level to my desk. And you as an employer there were very quick and proactive in actually ensuring that that was met. You answered a question. In fact, let's say the story again so our audience can better understand it. I had the opportunity to work with John at one of the colleges in Vancouver. And I remember starting the position, great job. Sitting at my desk was very uncomfortable because I felt I was squashing. My legs were all folded underneath. And it was really uncomfortable because the highest level was still not high enough for me to be able to have my feet balanced on the floor. And, you know, John being the head of the college, I went to him and I wanted to know if it were possible for me to get a different chair. I was actually looking for the chance to go around and find something suitable in the college, but he was so freaking saying, yes, absolutely. Why don't you go online, find what you feel you need, share it with me, and then we'll take it from there. And immediately I showed him what I was looking for. That was it. I was able to get the chair. It was just so quick and there was no question in there. You were just particularly interested in my comfort. And that was a beautiful example of beauty. And thank you for that, by the way.
That's fine. For me, it's interesting. Our first experience of beauty actually as very young children, actually as infants, is touch. So touch is a very primary sense, you know, and touch means our contact with the world. Yeah, and a chair is, if you work in an office, is a large part of what you spend your time on. So touch is really important, the touch of our equipment and how the furniture touches us, or the toilet seat for that matter, because it sends an unconscious message that either you're valued or you're not valued by how you touch.
I agree. No, I absolutely agree.
Another example I want to talk to our listeners about was something very basic, because for me, these basic parts of our human nature, you know, long before we get even into the emotions, if we don't get those right as organizations, then we actually going to get substandard performance out of our employees. And here's a classic example. So I consulted to a very large college. And, you know, I went in there and I interviewed the teachers and the administrative staff. And I heard this continual refrain. The teacher said to me, the students here are lazy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't believe in lazy students. Laziness or perceived laziness is just a result of some many other factors. One of the things is just if you don't get enough oxygen, you're sluggish. So I brought in a friend of mine as an expert air consultant, and I asked him to please test the carbon dioxide levels in the college, because there was an old air conditioning system. And here's what he just said, no, John, they're way above what they should be, these carbon dioxide levels. So of course everybody was falling asleep. So, you know, I managed to persuade the MD to spend a couple of thousand on refitting all the air conditioning. Hey, and suddenly there were no lazy students. Everybody was awake. Yeah. And it was like to me, you know, these students were being berated by these teachers for being lazy. Teachers were struggling through the day, being grumpy. It was all because they were just sucking in too much CO2.
Exactly. And those goes into, you know, running a business and trying to go into those very little things around the space, this physical space. They didn't have enough lighting. Did they have enough windows to bring in the air? The setting of the chairs, you know?
Yeah. All of that, you know,
and you know, businesses can, you know, take on to look into that beauty aspect.
Yeah. And now, you know, we have really great consultants, ergonomic consultants, and even if feng shui sounds a bit too far out for some people, don't even have to go there. You have ergonomic consultants who can come in and take a good look at a piece of office space, and then often with very, very small cost to the business, make some adjustments that really are profound for people. You know, I mean, this was a big budget spend, obviously the air conditioning, but there are many other adjustments that can be made that just make people feel better. You know, for example, you know, a simple one is doors opening behind people sitting at desks. Not good to have a door behind you, because it makes you feel very vulnerable and you can't see who's coming in behind you, behind your back. And it's, again, one of those deep human instincts not to feel that way, you know, not to have somebody looking over your shoulder from behind that you can't see who's looking. So there's some things which are really not rocket science, but they're so obvious that we miss them and we miss great opportunities.
They're so obvious, they're so essential. Yeah?
Right.
They're obvious and very essential. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It brings me to a question that you've actually sort of talked about, because business stakeholders, as employees, we also need to look into those effects, right, when it comes to beauty. So I think the question to you is, what positive effects does beauty have on the business stakeholder, employees, customers, and the general public? Now, we've touched upon a little bit as employees in terms of my own experience. That for me made me very satisfied, very dedicated, and to see what we've done. But you can build upon this a little bit in terms of our audience. What are some of the What was the point of us trying to invest in the beauty of
it? Oh, okay. So in short, I often say to people, beauty outside, beauty inside, ugly outside, ugly inside. Yeah, you look at prisons and places like that, you know, you wonder why people become ugly. Okay, so let me put it in very clear terms here. So when people are exposed to beauty or a higher degree of aesthetics, better physical, let's say, sensations they experience from what they touch and what the equipment they deal with and all that stuff, okay? There are many documented studies now, and if our readers want to have access to that academic stuff, I can happily supply them with the links, which show that if you increase the comfort level and the beauty in an organizational life, you increase people's creativity, you increase their ability to feel assertive and stable and comfortable, and ultimately, you increase productivity. So there's a very bad and old notion that if you make it too comfortable, people are going to tap off. No, actually the opposite. Mm. You make it uncomfortable, people spend a lot of time grumbling about what's uncomfortable. They don't want to say it's uncomfortable. Nobody wants to say the toilet seat's hurting my backside. What they will rather say is that colleague's irritating me, because they project their frustration onto other people. because it's, you know, they don't want to own some of this basic stuff. It's just human nature. So ugliness actually hinders productivity in all sorts of terrible ways. Beauty does quite the opposite. Beauty makes people far more positive, far more proactive, far more wanting to get the job done. And also, in simple terms, the equipment and the building and the lighting and the air is not getting in the way. You know, so if you want it really simply, take away those things that get in the way of people's productivity.
Yep, I agree.
And then people, you have really, really satisfied employees, and they'll work longer and harder and happier. And not just the employees, the customers too. Customers like experiences of beauty. Now, you and I both know a brand which I'm going to talk about from a retail perspective. Talk about Woolworths Group, and we've experienced it in South Africa. Now, the inside of that shop, I yet have got to meet anything here that I've seen to compare with that. You know, had the Bay maybe get somewhere there, but Woolworths was incredible, you know, because they make a customer feel very special in there. The layout, hundred little tweaks to the layout, and they understand what lighting and air and layout does, you know. It's very attractive to want to shop there, even though they're more expensive than many other brands.
And I agree. And to build upon that as well, Woolworths is a brand that is in South Africa, and I think they had a branch in Dubai at one point. Oh. And for me, it was an hour drive to get to that location, but it was a drive that I was willing to take.
Here we go. Here we go.
Love a particular brand. And, you know, beauty as well, we always kind of think about beauty in terms of those stakeholders, but really important as well for our audience is beauty can extend beyond the immediate customers and the employees and internal stakeholders to even to the society, because those are stakeholders too. The
community.
Right? But the appeal of your business, the appeal of your organization is something that the neighborhood will feel, the community will feel, you know, contributing to that sense of, you know, how do I put it? One is a sense of community well-being, basically.
Yes.
Right? That's a pride. So, yeah.
One of the things that I loved when I came to Canada here, and it was a big change from my own home country in South Africa, in that regard, for example, was many of the schools here, most of the schools here, public schools, open their grounds to people after hours. So like where I came from in South Africa, you weren't actually allowed onto the school premises after hours. And then, for example, for a primary school child to go and use some of that play equipment that's out there, all the jungle gyms and stuff. But here, those spaces are open to people, open to the public after hours. And so are the fields and the big lawn areas and stuff. Now, that's a great example of organization, sharing its resources when it's not going to get in the way of the business with the public. You know, and I'm sure there's a bit of extra litter to pick up sometimes, or you know, something gets broken. But relative to the general good it does, it's a very small price to pay. So these kind of open resources, I think, are really phenomenal, are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I never forget when I was in Montreal, a couple of the colleges there are open like 24/7, and there are computers there, and any member of the general public can just go in there and use that stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful that, you know, when businesses think about how to serve the community, make it comfortable for the community. And again, you know, you have to obviously control it, and you have to be, you know, have good security and all that good stuff. But boy, what a difference it makes to feel a business is open and welcoming and sharing itself.
Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Barlam.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.